What up, Long Beach? It is a BEA beautiful day here in the LBC, and we're back at the downtown offices of the Long Beach Post to talk some local sports as we do every week. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and across the table, he's Mike Arabasio.
We are loving the weather down here at the Long Beach Post, JJ. Is it spring?
Is it summer? It feels like summer. I feel like we got the Vince Staples FM EP all over again. It does feel like summer.
Well, the winter playoffs are coming to an end quite rapidly, as a matter of fact, and we are starting to get into the full swing of things with the spring sports. You can find our coverage of all of that at lbpost.com, our weekly high school wrap-up, our weekly college wrap-up, which we try and do in kind of a fun style, so it's not just a game article or what you're used to reading from us. We also do this podcast for the Post, as well as the show, our weekly five-minute highlight package from around the city. And listen to me, not enough of you are watching the show. JJ crushes it. It's awesome. I think we struggle a little bit sometimes doing things like that because, as we've discussed, like, you and I are interested in everything that's happening in the city.
Right.
A lot of sports fans are just a Poly football fan, just a Dirtbags fan. But it's 5 minutes of your week to see who the best kids in your community are and kind of get a chance to appreciate them.
And then when you're hanging out, if you're hanging out with your friends who also like sports, you can sound like an absolute genius.
Yeah.
When it comes to Long Beach sports, you're going to know all of the top Long Beach sports stories. Just give us 5 minutes every week.
We got you. 5 minutes. It's the highlights of the biggest events, previews of the biggest events coming up, and a play of the week. You do not want to miss this week's play of the week. So definitely check out the show and all the other coverage we just mentioned at lbpost.com.
This week on What Up Long Beach, our weekly podcast, it's kind of the last time we're going to be talking about basketball. So we're going to itch that basketball Jones and also get into our O the Week segment.
We just mentioned it. The weather is heating up. I'm looking at blue skies right now. I do hear that there might be some rain coming next week. I don't check the weather app. I put my ear to the ground.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
I wait for my...
You wait to look out over the ocean and just see the weather rolling in?
Yeah, I didn't want to make that sound like a humble brag.
Well, the crossing guard that helps me get my kids to school in the morning told me she heard there's going to be rain next week. So you got to beat the bad weather. You got to enjoy the blue skies. You got to get down to Naples Rib Company and go tell them that we sent you because they've been supporting us for so long. Got a chance to see some of our friends from Naples Rib Company at the Moore League Sportsmanship Symposium on Monday. Really fun event. We love that. They get some of the top sophomores from each high school to get into a room together, hear from some Long Beach legends, do some... camaraderie building exercises, and obviously it was also catered by Naples Rib Company because they support Long Beach sports the same way that we do.
They really do, and it's such a great event. You're absolutely right, and of course Dave Orsini and Naples Rib Company is involved in something like that that makes moments like a softball game I covered yesterday seem normal. After the post-game handshake, everybody was just giving each other hugs because, you know, they're also friends.
They've all known each other forever. Well, listen, you and I have had this conversation a number of times about why it's better for Long Beach kids to stay in the Long Beach schools to play sports. And one of those reasons is, I understand, you know, maybe people think there's a better platform for the Trinity League or whatever. And in some sports, there absolutely is. Totally understand that. But it's high school sports, man. It's fun to play a softball game against girls you grew up playing softball games against. Like, my kids are playing 6- and 4-year-old baseball right now. Absolutely all the parents are standing around thinking about, oh, 10 years from now, they might still be doing this.
Also, if you're talented, scouts will find you. It's literally their job.
It's proven.
It's what they do. If there was a rib scout, you know where he'd be sitting all the time?
Naples Rib Company, and he'd be telling them that Mike and JJ sent you.
Let's get right into it. Our O of the Week segment starts with our question of the week. We actually got it earlier today. Are the Dirtbags really this good?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Let's start with the it's early, it's baseball, anything can happen. Injuries, bad luck, it all happens with the slings and arrows when you're playing on the diamond. So anything can happen to this Long Beach Dirtbags team.
Nope. They're really this good.
That being said, they are now ranked number 17 after taking the series from number 6, Mississippi State. Yes, that's right. Number 17, Wake Forest comes in. They sweep them. Then number 6, Mississippi State comes in, and they take the series from the Bulldogs. The best start for the Dirtbags in more than a decade. And even if they were 500 right now, even if they dropped one of those series, if you've been at Bull Diamond at Blair Field this season, you know what I'm talking about.
I haven't even been there. I've just been watching your coverage, and I know what you're talking about.
It feels different. It feels like I'm covering a brand new baseball program, and that is shocking and surprising when you consider how much history is really in the Dirtbags baseball program. Like, it feels completely new, And it's really, really good. They're playing loose. They're playing free. They're playing great baseball. If you want to hear Andy Fee, the athletic director who brought first-year head coach Eric Valenzuela into the mix last summer, talk about this start and Coach Valenzuela and what he's seeing out there at the Diamond, definitely listen to the LB Fee show. He and I talked about that at the top, kind of at length, because, you know, if your thing's going well, you kind of want to talk about it.
The athletic director wants to talk a little bit more when stuff's going right. But I want to say this. Number one, yes, I think the Dirtbags are really this good. You see Kendall Rogers and the people who really follow college baseball as a whole, which we don't. You know what I mean? I couldn't tell you what's going on in Providence right now or whatever. They're already talking about the possibility of this team hosting a regional.
There's we've got to say this up top. There is a little bit West Coast bias in this situation where, yeah, maybe Wake Forest and Mississippi State weren't the 17th best team in the nation.
Correct.
And the sixth best team in the nation when they came to Long Beach. And you're supposed to win your series at home and all that stuff. If there is going to be a bias, you might as well play those teams, and Long Beach baseball always plays those teams.
To me, there's some facts involved here that don't involve anything to do with opinions or rankings or whatever else, right? The Dirtbags had not won a series against an SEC program since 2003, okay? It didn't matter. We're not talking about rankings. We're not talking about anything else. It's their first SEC series win since 2003, and you're looking at a Dirtbags team who have they now – They're on pace to equal their win total before conference starts from last year.
Well,
is that right?
Before conference starts, yes.
You know, so, I mean, to me, there's stuff here that's exciting. But I'm just going to really conclude my part of the segment by just rejecting the question. They're playing awesome right now.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see them. Like, my family's got a busy weekend this weekend, but I haven't had a chance to bring my son Vincent out to a game. He loves baseball now. And so we rearranged our schedule on Saturday and Sunday so I can make sure I can get them to Bull Diamond at Blair Field for a couple of games, right? And if they come out and they go flat, and as you said, like, there's going to be ups and downs,
right,
for sure. This is still fundamentally the same team that really struggled last year.
It's also the same sport.
Yeah. So, you know, is that stuff ahead? Yeah, maybe, probably. But I just, like, one thing I would love it is if sports fans could be not talking heads themselves. Like, don't try and be Stephen A. Smith. Don't try and put a power ranks together. The Bags are playing great. Go see the Dirtbags and have a good time. Like, it doesn't need to be more complicated than that.
They are really playing great against ranked teams. Xavier, not a ranked team. They're kind of struggling this year. So hopefully the Dirtbags can continue their winning streak at Bull Diamond at Blair Field, because these are all series at home. So they are going to have to go on the road eventually.
For sure.
So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes as well. But the stuff they're doing travels. The things that they're doing, doesn't matter where they're doing it. Like, they're hitting the ball hard and they're staying aggressive. We're going to talk much more about this on the show. We mentioned it earlier. Your 5-minute video recap of the top Long Beach sports stories. Make sure you find that at Long Beach Post. They're staying aggressive to the point where they were stealing bases late in the game on Friday. They weren't just sitting on their lead trying to get their pitcher back out onto the mound to end the game. The games are moving quicker. Pace of play, Mike. Pace of play.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say, when you say the game they're playing travels well, isn't it also encouraging that you've seen them win in a lot of different ways? Like,
mm-hmm.
They're not just winning 1-0, 2-1 pitching. Like, they're winning games where they're scoring some runs. And that's, to me, what really put me on alert was they had the Friday win over Mississippi State where Seminaris was just dealing. We've seen them upset teams that way.
Yes.
And then Saturday and Sunday,
right,
so much. So Saturday, Mississippi comes back and goes, we're a top 10 team in the country for a reason, gets an impressive win. I was really curious to see what happened on Sunday. And
so
sure
was
enough,
Coach Valenzuela.
Yeah, and sure enough, they fell behind, and then they battled back offensively,
mm-hmm,
to score some runs and win that game. And that, to me, was when I'm looking at that going, uh-oh. This is a different animal.
Yeah.
This is a 2008, you know, some of the teams that we saw where it was like they didn't just have to rely on shutout pitching, which you can't do that in a regional or late in the season.
The stuff they're doing off the field seems to be working perfectly as well. Everything is coming up roses right now for the Dirtbags, even when things are going poorly. For example, you mentioned him, the Friday night ace, Adam Seminaris. He sat out in that series against Wake Forest 2 weeks ago because of violation of team rules. So your Friday night starter gets in trouble. Valenzuela took the opportunity to not only send a message to this team, but Dirtbag teams in the future. It doesn't matter who you are. If you break the rules, you pay the price. That is a massive win for the program and a new coaching staff. And then the kid comes back the next week and absolutely deals on Friday night, shutting out the number 6 team in the nation. So you'll get to send the message, and then you also get to have your guy back refreshed, ready to go. He handled it like a man. Valenzuela handled it like a man. It all works out, and the rest of the team is like, yeah, we are now aware of what the rules are. It's perfect.
Right. I love it.
This is one of the things that we always look at when Long Beach State teams are good, from men's basketball to women's soccer. It's like, okay, fine. Not going to get an at-large, right? You got to win the Big West. That is not the case in Big West baseball. We've said it time and
time
again.
Might have a third of the conference might make the NCAAs.
Now that, yeah, for real. Now that men's volleyball is a real part of the Big West, you have that impressive group of teams as well. However,
Big West has five of the top seven teams in the country in men's volleyball.
I would say that year in, year out, baseball would be the best Big West sport. And this year is no different. Long Beach State hanging around 50, 55 in the RPI. Well, so when they start that Big West conference schedule, it's not going to be the anchor on their RPI ranking that sometimes it is in other Big West sports.
Now look at this. On the ones that are most recently updated with the Tuesday results, CSUN's number five, UC Santa Barbara's 35, Long Beach State is
CSUN was top five, or top
yeah,
five.
Long Beach State's up to 48, Riverside is 66, Irvine is up 20 spots to 82,
yeah,
and Hawaii is at 102. So almost the whole conference is in the top 100. That's Pac-12, that's SEC, that's ACC. There's not a lot of conferences that have that depth. And so that's exactly why it's what you said. This is not a win it or you don't go situation. Now, they obviously want to go win it, but
because
there's a lot to be rooting here no matter what.
If you win it, you get the automatic bid, like you said earlier.
And you'd host
almost
certain.
Yeah, they've got a couple writers nationwide talking about the Dirtbags possibly being another host site like they were in 2017.
Interesting slide. Next to last in the Big West in the RPI, Cal State Fullerton at 191 with a 4-8 record. I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Yeah, yikes.
You're not bummed about it?
No, not one little bit.
All right, let's move on to our athletes of the week. We've got some exciting kids to talk about here. Thanks, as always, to Naples Rib Company for sponsoring our athletes of the week.
Karma in baseball is really showing off this year, Mike.
We're going to go from the diamonds to the oval. Our first honoree is our first track and field honoree, and she did it in historic fashion, so we had to do it. Keller Middle School's Taylor Johnson set a new LBUSD All-City record in the 100-meter sprint with a time of 12.2 seconds. Just to put that in perspective, she's running a CIF finals qualifying time as an eighth grader. And when I looked at the video of the run, she's running with technique.
Mm-hmm.
She's not just like a tall, fast kid.
Yeah.
She had a drive phase. She didn't just pop up. She stood up at the right time.
Right.
She also pulled up for the last 20 meters. She was so far out in front of everyone else.
And it was clear that she was pulling up, which is another sign that somebody knows how to run.
Oh, man. It was like, okay, we got a different level kid on our hands. Obviously, hopefully, we can add her to that list of elite athletes that's staying in the city at a Moore League high school.
If a track fan were to look at this story and be like, oh, athletes of the week, they actually do include the middle schools. That's really cool. Thank you for thinking that, fake fan I just made up in my head.
I got a nice note from her mom.
But we can't do stuff like that if we're not working in Long Beach. Like, the Long Beach situation set up to have the all-city track and field meet, to give you the opportunity to shine like this. We're paying attention, but people also send it to us because, you know, it's the Long Beach sports community and cool stuff like this is happening all the time. So this was just another moment where I was like, yeah, we're paying attention, but we're paying attention in one of the greatest cities of all time.
Yeah. We've got two Athlete of the Week honorees from the Wilson girls basketball team that made history last weekend with that Division 3A CIF Southern Section Championship. Samaya Terry and Ashley Hawkins. Samaya is really one of the most pleasing surprise breakout stories of the winter to me, because I love that kid. I've covered her on the volleyball team there for the last 3 or 4 years. She's the kind of kid that you and I always end up having a connection with that will last after they graduate high school. They'll come back. You'll see them on Second Street when you're having lunch, and you'll have a nice 20-minute conversation, right? Student body president, just a natural, charismatic leader. I love the Q&A feature that you did on her on the website. She told me when the season was over, even though basketball is the sport she's going to play in college, like she didn't expect to score 24 points in a CIF championship overtime win, which is what she ended up doing. She didn't expect to score 30 points in a quarterfinal. And I just love seeing her have that success. I think she's going to be really good at the next level and really could go up to Cal State Monterey Bay and be a first year freshman starter.
Not only that, But she scored in a moment where her team absolutely needed it in the beginning of that championship game on Saturday. We'll talk more about this on the show because you'll be able to see these plays. But she just went and got buckets.
Yeah.
Like, really unorthodox moves and then also a nice little step back, stop, but pop, drop at the top of the key.
Senior, like, we got to have it. You know, that just that urgency for
She
sure.
went and got her team back into that game. And if she doesn't do that in the first quarter, she's not able to be the hero in the fourth and overtime.
So Samaya has been the rocket booster in the playoffs for that team. But the motor of the Wilson girls basketball team all season long has been Ashley Hawkins. The junior guard had 14 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 rebounds in that CIF championship win. Very impressive underclassman. Super curious to see what she does coming back next year. But congratulations to Samaya and Ashley for getting it done, man. CIF championship. That banner will be up in that gym forever.
Yeah, it was such a great game. We'll talk about it in a minute in our games of the week.
Our last athlete of the week going to the lacrosse field, our first ever lacrosse athlete of the week, Henry Pryor from Long Beach Poly, led the Jackrabbits to a 12-2 win over Wilson. Pryor had 4 goals, very impressive performance. And I just wanted to mention this because we go from lacrosse not being an official sport to it being a pretty successful official sport right away. But that Poly boys lacrosse team is number 4 in Division 3. They've only lost to Peninsula, which is in a higher division. I believe that was by 1 goal. They look like a really focused team that we could end up covering through the playoffs in our first ever lacrosse playoffs.
Cabrillo's ranked, and they're not even in the Moore League.
Right. Yeah, the girl Cabrillo girls, number 10 in Division 3.
Very brand new over there on the lacrosse field.
We're all figuring out as we go.
They're laying down cones on painted down lines on the football/soccer field for this thing. And there's a lot of time where you see the referees and the players basically explaining the rules to each other. It's a different experience.
For sure, for sure. So congratulations to our athletes of the week. And JJ just shouted out, we're going to move on to our games of the week.
Well, let's do quote first because our games of the week and our list of the week are kind of tied together. So the quotes of the week actually come from the battery mates from Wilson softball, junior pitcher Haley Houston and freshman catcher Juliana, and I kid you not, JJ Babor. That's right. We've got a JJ in the Moore League, and I'm pretty excited yeah. about it. Houston absolutely dealt against the defending champion Lancer. She had 11 strikeouts in a complete game performance. Babor, making her Moore League debut, no big deal, dude. Just catches the whole game and hits 2 home runs as the Bruins beat the Lancers 9-3, a quote-unquote upset. These are actually the last 2 teams who have won the last 2 Moore League softball championships. But Lakewood is always looked at as the front runner in the Moore League, rightfully so. They have D1 talent on their roster. But this Wilson Bruins team, they are very experienced. A lot of these girls who are juniors this year started as freshmen, so they knew this season was coming, and they look really good. So I caught up with Houston and Babor after the game, talked to them kind of about where their mindset was and how they got through such a tough game and really an unexpected victory. What was the game plan coming in?
So, you've faced them a couple times now.
Yes, we have. I have. Our shortstop was hurt, so we all knew we had to work as a team, and we all knew we had to pick each other up, considering we were missing one of our players. But our game plan was just go right at them, just let them see as few pitches as possible and just go at them.
When you're back there and you're seeing her work, what happens early on in a game where you're like, okay, she's on, we're going to be all right?
Rise balls, yeah. Really. When Haley's rise balls are on, it's very obvious that we're going to do good in the game because, I mean, you can't hit the rise balls, you know?
When you stepped up for your first at bat, mm-hmm. I had it at 10 pitches. Mm-hmm. You draw the walk. You guys don't end up scoring in that. Mm-hmm. You guys were in the dugout getting ready, and you were laughing that it was taking her so long to get her stuff on, and you said, oh, look at her, she's so nervous. And you were like, no, I'm not. Why did you think that she was nervous, and why were you not nervous? It's your first Moore League game.
She was having trouble putting on the gear. She couldn't exactly get the straps on the catcher's shin guards. So, you know, and also it's always fun to joke around, like, tense games, you know, lighten the mood.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Haley really brings out, like, she brings out the best, and she just makes everyone happy and laugh. So it, like, really lightens up the mood and it becomes easier to play.
So why weren't you nervous?
I would say I've had a lot of experience catching with Haley, so between the preseason. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm getting used to it. Obviously, I'm going to get some curveballs, and there's going to be some pitches that are hard to catch. But, you know, I just try to keep my composure for the team because all of them, we all have to keep our composure to win the game. So
The first ball that you hit, the first home run, it went down the line.
Did you, when it got past the girl, I think she dove for it. When it got past her, where you were like, oh, I'm going all the way around? What did you think?
I didn't really know. I just knew I was going to put on the brakes. I mean, put on the speed. I wasn't really looking at the ball.
Okay.
Because I was just picking out my coach, and I heard all the girls screaming, obviously. So.
How about the second one? At that point, do you realize, oh, there's no fence here. I could probably do this again?
Yeah. Okay. So I, like, obviously I hustled because that's what you do. But then Coach George told me I could easy up. So, and then all my team was out there to greet me, which was really pleasant. So
we knew what we're this year. We're a very competitive team and we have all the pieces and everyone helped out. We felt pretty confident coming in. I think we thought we could do it.
I just think it's a mix of hard work and teamwork from the whole team. Every single player is important. Even if you don't see them on the field, they are a crucial element to the team.
Those two kids are fun, man. I have a feeling we're going to be writing about them a lot this season and then probably a lot more next season when Houston's a senior and Babora is back for her sophomore year, because I don't know if they could look much better than they did on Tuesday.
All right, we're going to move on to our games of the week, and this was going to be previewing CIF State basketball games. We're hoping to have Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday games at home for Wilson and St. Anthony, Wilson girls, St. Anthony boys. Both of them kind of unceremoniously bounced from the first round of the state playoffs the night before we're recording this. So instead, let's talk about how great that Wilson CIF championship was on Saturday, Jage.
That's kind of how I feel about it, because as I was watching Wilson lose to MiraCosta in the first round of the D2 state playoffs on Tuesday night, all I could think of was, this kind of looks like the game on Saturday, but there was something special going on Saturday at Godinez High School, where Wilson took on Eisenhower in the Division 3A playoffs here in the Southern Section. Wilson hadn't won a championship in 20 years. The pressure was on them. They were getting calls from the team from 2000 saying, bring this plaque home, man. That's pretty crazy.
That's heady stuff.
As much athletic tradition as Wilson does, even if it's not on the hard court, it's pretty cool to have that much history in the balance. And they delivered. And they delivered in such a classic Long Beach way. Like, they did not play well in the first quarter. Really, honestly, if you look at the tape, you'd be like, okay, that's probably one of their worst playoff performances of the year. They didn't have it cooking early on. Obviously, they played well down the stretch in the fourth and overtime, forcing a bunch of turnovers. That pressure on Eisenhower finally made them crack late in the game, and Wilson got a few extra possessions that players like Terry Hawkins were able to take advantage of and score on, and that was the difference down the stretch. And it was just such a fun game because it was never out of reach for either team. Both star players went out hurt and then came back in the fourth quarter. You can obviously see the highlight video available at the562.org. But it was just it was what you would want from a lower division game like that, because it was exciting from beginning to end for both crowds.
Yeah, right, exactly. That Eisenhower team, by the way, that you predicted was going to go on a run in the Division III playoffs, did you see their first score?
No, what happened?
They won 79-48.
They got a chip on their shoulder a little bit, dude. I love this Wilson Bruins team, don't get me wrong. Covering this game, like I said in the tweets and afterwards and all that stuff, one of my favorite championship games we've ever covered. If you're an Eisenhower fan, you're like, we should have won that game.
Right.
They definitely should have won that game.
Yeah.
But that's what happens, dude. That Long Beach Magic just takes over sometimes.
And that's the thing about that I love about the high school playoffs. Even though they're thinking of going to a series format for high school baseball, I hope they never do. I just love that in the high school playoffs, every game is game seven.
Yeah.
Every game.
It had that feel.
When you get reduced to a game seven, the best team, you know, like the Lakers, if they're in a game seven against the Clippers, who knows? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The Clippers could have won their three wins by 40 points a game. But when you shrink it down to one game, you really push your marbles in. That's why we've always felt like championships in high school are so special. And that's going to be our list of the week, our favorite championship basketball games to cover. I'm going to go ahead and say that of the bracket sports, I don't think any sport is close to basketball for CIF championships. We've covered more than half the high school. We've covered Poly, Wilson, St. Anthony, Compton, Milliken have all won CIF championships in boys or girls basketball. It's been consistent. We get one almost every single year from 2008 till now. And these have been great games. So I'm assuming this Wilson game is one of your favorite ones.
I would definitely throw it on there. It would be an I'd hate recency bias, so it would sneak into my honorable mentions today and then give it a year, and it'll probably knock one of my top three off. But like, the first one I think of is actually a Long Beach State one, and we've talked about it so much that I will just, you know, keep it short. It's that Long Beach State last chance to dance, last time Casper Ware and the Fab Four had a chance to beat UC Santa Barbara in the Big West Conference Tournament Final. It was at Honda Center, a large pro Long Beach crowd, the largest crowd we've ever seen at a conference tournament game at Honda Center for the Big West. And Casper Ware just doing work, scoring 28, carrying them to the tournament.
It was the last good crowd they had at the Honda Center.
Without question. Without question. It was also the last time that those two teams could have both gone in to the tournament. You know what I mean? They both had really good resumes. Obviously, with it being the Big West, only one gets to get in. And that was the case when Long Beach State had lost to Santa Barbara the 2 years before that. So the fact that that was a Game 7, that was it.
Yeah.
Those guys changed basketball culture at Long Beach State for years, and they had one shot at it, and they made it, dude. That was a crazy, crazy cool night.
I'm just going to kind of mirror, I think we'll just go, let's go sort of level by level. My favorite Long Beach State one that I got to cover was the women's championship that they won with Alex Sanchez the senior year, Jody Wins last year there. Then they went and almost upset Oregon State in the first round. The parity is so bad in women's basketball that almost pulling an upset got Jody Wynn a Pac-12 job.
It's true.
At UW. Usually, like,
well, building the program up to be in that position got Jody Wynn the job in the Pac-12.
No. If they lost to Oregon by 30 points, she's not getting a UW job.
You don't think so?
Hell no.
Interesting. Okay.
But because I think that it's the almost pulling off an upset is as rare in women's basketball as pulling off an upset in men's basketball, right? So in men's basketball, if your team makes a Sweet 16 run or they get that first win and you're looking at a mid-major coach, you're like, oh, I wonder if he's going to level up. In women's basketball, I thought it was amazing. It's like she'd been there for 8 or 9 years. We love Jody Wynn and her staff. We got to know them very well when they're down here. But like, they win the tournament one time, right? They didn't build them into a year after year after year contender. They win it one time. They go, and they lose in the first round, but it was close, and it was on the road.
It was
and
close so against the number two team in the nation. It wasn't for sure. Just, they for weren't sure, just
no.
good.
No, for sure. But that's what I'm saying. But, like, I just thought that was amazing because in men's basketball, you wouldn't even remember that result. Like, oh, someone pushed Kentucky, and then Kentucky went on to the Final Four.
Big West
whatever,
has
right?
a couple of those games, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But in the women's game, that kind of almost upset is so rare that it felt like a sweet – we were joking. Like, it felt like a Sweet 16 run for them.
I guess, yeah. I guess your point is valid in that it wasn't an SEC team that then hired Jody Wynn. It was another team from Oregon State's conference that was like, they're hey, like, that looked pretty
oh,
good.
She almost beat Oregon State. We like to almost beat Oregon State.
And then she repaid her best players by taking Raven Benton and Anna Kim to Washington with her to be on our coaching staff.
Yeah, took everybody up there. And Julian Sawyer is Perfect. Up there now. Yeah, now too. Okay, keeping it on the girls' side, I want to talk about high school girls' championships I've covered. We've covered, gosh, I think we figured out that it was like 13 CIF and state championships
you
with
mentioned
the Poly
it.
Girls basketball team.
Of the bracket sports, basketball we've covered the most. And I think if you were to really break it down, I think girls basketball has given us more playoff coverage than any other sport.
For sure.
Because we get it every year from Poly. And then there's also somebody else who usually has one run.
Right. Like a Milliken or Wilson makes a run in one of
Even
the other
St. Anthony had a couple runs where we were going with them to state.
Yes. We're the Kendall Cooper years that were so great. So I would say the single one for me that I'll just never forget was my birthday, 2008, our first year covering sports, Poly Milliken girls CIF championship in the pyramid. It was just
high water
the top
mark,
division.
Bro.
Yeah, like we'll never see that again. It was, like I said, it was a top division. This is pre-open division, so it was Division One. But there was this
Courtney Clements for Milliken.
Yeah,
who was Pauly's big player that
Jazz Dixon. There was this added thing, because remember, that was the year that Milliken beat Pauly in league. That was the last time Pauly lost to the Morley game 12 years ago. But that was so big because it was like they were co-league champions.
Mm-hmm.
Their season series was 1-1, and you had these two league rivals play for the top level Division One championship, and it was in Long Beach.
It's not like they schedule these things after the season, folks.
No,
they knew
that
that's where it was.
It was
incredible. It's like when the Dolphins get the Super Bowl in Miami, and you're like, "This is the year the Dolphins are going to make it and host the Super Bowl."
Right. But you and I have talked about that year a lot. That it was a year that, to be honest with you, if the year that we covered 2 years ago had happened in 2008, I might have a different job,
bro.
You know what I mean?
Every 4 years, 2008. 2012,
right? But 2008 was so 2020. 2008 was so magical that it was just like oh man, like this is great. So I'll never forget that game. We've obviously covered a ton of amazing open division, you know, poly CIF state championships, but that one to me always really sticks out.
Well, speaking of Milliken, my number two, and really one that I remember because of the post-game celebration, was Milliken girls basketball winning their first CIF title in school history back in 2014. It was at Azusa Pacific, so I made the drive up there by myself because we had other games. I think Mike was actually at a Poly basketball game.
I was at the
Poly game.
Open Division Championship.
So Milliken...
Yeah, they both won on the same day. It was insane.
Milliken shuts down this team, Bonita, who had two really good guards. One of them, I think, ended up going to UNLV. And so another classic Long Beach moment where it's like, we know those two girls are their best players. We're going to put our two best defenders on them, shut them down, see where everything else lands. It worked. They win it. Lorene Morgan, one of our favorite coaches locally, a legend in the game. She's been at Milliken forever. First championship, obviously a big deal. The way she and those kids celebrated after that championship game is the way that I want everyone in the entire world to celebrate everything.
Yes.
From the big stuff to the little stuff. It was raw. It was real. It was... They showed everyone how much it meant to them, and everybody around them responded in kind. And it was one of those moments where I didn't want to leave.
Right.
I'm stuck at Azusa Pacific in the middle of a Saturday, and I'm
right.
like, I could hang out here
this.
For a while, dude.
Right,
I love
for
this.
For sure. I'm going to go switch it over to the boys' side where we've had less. We've had less, as you said. I mean, most of the success has been on the girls' side. We've covered, I want to say, 3 CIF championship wins for the Poly boys basketball team and 1 CIF championship loss. The two that I'll always kind of remember as the high water marks were the Ryan Anderson, Alex Carmen. It's one of the reasons I always remember it because we work with Alex Carmen now.
Beach Alexis, City Hoops, check it out.
Alexis Moore, Rashawn Prince, when they just dominated Corona Centennial in the Division I championship. I think they beat them by like 30-something points.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
Mike
like,
Caffey in Corona Centennial.
And then we watched Mike Caffey, and it was like, this is the guy Long Beach State signed out of this game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
In the ACC, dude.
In the ACC.
Anaheim Convention Center, you hold a special place in
for
my
sure,
heart. And if any other basketball fans in Long Beach know what I'm talking about, it is a love-hate relationship.
For sure. But that game was incredible.
Most unkind rims in the history of basketball.
And then one of the stranger transitions we've ever covered in any sport, you know, Sharif Matoyer had Rashawn Prince and Jordan Bell's senior year, what should have been the best basketball team we ever covered.
Mm-hmm.
Should have had Cameron Chapman that year. It would have been the best boys basketball team we've ever seen. With no one close in the comparison.
Yeah.
You know, Cameron Chapman's ruled ineligible. Sharif puts him into the game at Mater Dei as a protest statement. He gets suspended. The interim coach comes in. Shelton Diggs wins the CIF championship his first year. In the biggest transition year you could possibly have had. New coach. Some guys no one had ever heard of at that point. Zafir Williams, KJ Fagan, came out, put the city on their back, win the CIF championship, the 20th championship for the school in that sport in Shell's first year. That was one of those, like, you, me, and Tyler, I think, were all at that game at the Honda Center just looking at each other like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make any sense.
That was the thanks for having us game.
For sure.
This is great. This is absolutely great. Let's stay with boys basketball in the Moore League because my number three is the Compton boys basketball title in 2015. Tony Thomas worked so hard to build that program back to what it was when his dad was a coach there.
He Shout had out to Eddie Thomas, Eddie Thomas Gymnasium.
He had DeMar DeRozan there at Compton. They weren't able to get the title, but in 2015, they finally win it. The first CIF title for Compton basketball since 1969. And in the same way that I loved the Milliken celebration from the players and the coaches, I loved the Compton celebration that day and then also for the next week as they all came out of the woodwork because not only did people have ties to Tony, but they had ties to his family.
Right.
So like 40 years of Compton alumni were celebrating this basketball victory. And some of the shirts that people were wearing that week at the state games afterwards were pretty awesome, dude, because you could tell they had saved them in one single drawer at their house for a very long time. The 1969 CIF championship shirts were sick.
DeMar DeRozan, one of many Moore League basketball players we covered early in our careers, going, why didn't they come up with this competitive equity thing a few years sooner? The last thing I wanted to point out about that is,
how many points do you think DeMar DeRozan would have scored in 5 Division III A championship games?
as many points as you want to do, JJ.
120.
Shoot it till your arm falls off. I just want to throw this out there because I think the statute of limitations has passed on this. You said Tony Thomas worked so hard, and I thought what you were about to say was he worked so hard to keep them out of the open division.
That's also true, yeah.
In order to go win that was it three?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Division III championship. They, you know, I would never say that they threw a game or whatever,
wait,
but I would say they were
no 2A.
2A. They were very comfortable. Division 2A. They were very comfortable losing to Poly the way that they lost to Poly, which was a fairly lopsided loss at the end of the regular season.
Rayshon Scott, Javonte Jackson.
Oh, our guys. Yeah, for
that was
sure.
A great team.
We love that team.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Ray Gun. I mean, we've got dudes on that team we still talk to on Twitter fairly regularly. Tony keeping them out of the open division with some creative moves, I think, is also sort of an underrated part of that story.
Quote, my father was the first African-American coach of the program, and I'm the first African-American to win a championship. I'm no Jackie Robinson, but I'm the first at something.
Yeah.
End quote. Tony Hell Thomas. Yeah, Tony. Tip of the cap, bro.
Tony, yeah.
I'm going to take your moment.
The best quote, the best quote he's ever given us, and then he just shut it down after that.
Yeah, that was a really good one. Do you have any more? I mean, Poly girls and Millikan girls at the Pyramid, I think, probably would win for holy crap moment.
I think it's one of those things, and I mean, you know, you and I talked about this when everyone was freaking out about the Poly Lakewood Division I semifinal in football. Like, the Moore League history for people who learn it, it's crazy. I mean, you've had like Moore League football teams have played in a CIF championship against each other three times. You know,
yeah.
And so this stuff doesn't happen anymore. But yeah, that Poly Millikan one to me, I mean, that was just the. That was the pinnacle. I mean, that was insane.
Yeah, the reason why the Moore League and Long Beach has more Major League Baseball players come out of here and more NFL football players come out of here is because it's been happening for so long. It's not like it's just happening now and we're like climbing up the leaderboard. It's like Compton's been producing baseball players for like the last 70 years. That's why they're on that list as one of the high schools to produce the most MLB players.
Yeah, I mean, well, and so, but I think there's a lot of high schools like Compton that were great at a time. And I think another thing that's unique about the Moore League is you have programs like Poly and Wilson where you dig into them and you see Poly's won 11 CIF water polo championships. They haven't won any since World War II,
mm-hmm.
right? Wilson, boys basketball, they won a CIF championship. It was in 1927.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, you have the continued sustained success. So, like, Wilson is still turning out, right? Like, Wilson just had a guy in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a guy on the Yankees this year. The Poly football team right now is not the best team in Southern California. They still have seven dudes currently playing in the NFL. Like, it's the sustained success from the big schools over a century that, you know, to be completely honest with you, look at the other teams that are on these lists, like Fremont High School, which is tied with Poly for most baseball players produced in the country. They haven't produced one since before Tony Gwynn was born.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's really rare that you have that kind of success over a long period of time. And, you know, Long Beach has had that. Now, has the population move inland? Are we going to start seeing sort of these bubbles of success from the Inland Empire? I think you see that already if you look at the NBA and everywhere else.
Yeah.
But
houses are cheaper out there, dude, and they're also bigger.
And guess what? People who can't afford expensive houses usually have kids that work harder at sports. Sorry.
Truth. I mean,
but I'm curious to see where that sort of dynamic flows over the next decade or two. But you can clearly see, like, the swing through Long Beach of SoCal talent was the slowest. It came in a long time ago, and it hasn't really all the way gone out yet. So
let's just keep talking basketball because, like I said, we're really not going to be able to talk about basketball much more this year. So Lakers, Clippers,
don't
update.
Leave us.
We actually got some maybe possible playoff previews coming up this week. Lakers right now, 47-13. They've won 9 of their last 10 games, hosting the Milwaukee Bucks on Friday in a possible finals preview?
Do you think so?
I love the Bucks coming out of the East. I've bet on it.
Really?
I'm rooting for it. I just want to see as much Giannis in the biggest games possible as I can, much like I was rooting for Kawhi to see him in the biggest games possible as I could last year.
I actually think I would put my money on the Celtics to come out of the East.
Interesting. You are about Jason Tatum.
Have you been following Jason
Tatum? No.
Been following Jason Tatum since you asked me the question you asked me last week?
I'm not saying you're wrong.
he's been a top 10 dude in the league.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I am on board. But when I said who would you start your team with, your answer last week was Giannis.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So. No. If it was Giannis versus any individual dude on the Celtics,
I wonder
if you
can bet
easy.
Celtics-Bucks finals.
You said bet them to make the Eastern Conference Finals? Yeah. I would, because I don't think that the Raptors will have it in the
odds
playoffs.
Probably aren't very good.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't think so, especially since the Celtics also have fans that bet.
Got to drop LeBron's three from the logo against the 76ers.
Can I just point out, because you and I actually like watch all the Lakers games, he's been trying to hit that shot for like 3 weeks, and he finally got it. And it was so funny because Twitter was just like, Bron Curry. And I was like, he bricked one of those
guys,
in the All-Star game.
Guys,
like,
it's been rough. To the point where AD Green, and I forget who the other guy was, went out to,
like,
the, to inspect the spot, look at it. It's like, oh, they had that planned because they knew he was going
to
do that. Because
he's been trying to do it. And he's been trying to do it in blowouts.
I also want to mention before we move on to the Clippers, I just love Anthony Davis's effort. For a big guy who has, he's not fragile, but like, makes you nervous when he moves around a little bit.
He always makes you nervous.
He's a little, he looks a little top heavy, but he is so energetic and his hustle is on freaking 100 every play. I love that from a big man.
Yeah.
DPOY. I absolutely love it.
He's got DPOY on my ballot. The Lakers have won 9 of their last 10. JJ mentioned it. We might have a finals and Western Conference finals preview Friday. They host the Bucks at 7:30. And on Sunday, they're quote-unquote at the Clippers at 12:30 on ABC. Very curious to see how they do in both those games, but people were curious to see how they do against the 76ers, and they did just fine.
The Clippers are 42-19 on a 5-game winning streak right now. Before they take on the Lakers, they are at the Rockets on Thursday in a possible Western Conference semifinal preview. If the playoffs started today, that's kind of how it would break down.
I would love,
like I told you, bro, watch out for the Rockets. They are dangerous. I do have to ask before we close this on the Clippers.
Yeah.
What is Paul George? Like, if somebody didn't ever watch Clippers basketball or basketball in general, and they'd be like, "Oh, so what's this guy about?" How would you explain Paul George? What is Paul George?
I think Paul George is a super talented player who would be better with LeBron than he is with Kawhi.
Because
I think he wants to be in the role of really talented dude who is not the first person that everyone in the locker room is going to go interview and ask questions to. I think he's a low-key guy. I think we've seen in the postseason he's not a dude who loves pressure or a huge spotlight. To be completely honest with you, my whole theory of the case when people were talking about, oh, did the Clippers add too much for the Lakers, my whole thing is what's been borne out this year, which is Bron and Kawhi, absolutely. I mean, that's two of the best players in the world, maybe the two best players in the world, you know, going up against each other. But everyone painted it as a Bron and AD versus Kawhi and Paul George.
No.
And my feeling even last year, even when some people wanted Paul George for MVP, was Paul George is not the fourth guy in that.
Dude,
one of those things is not like the others.
I am on record. You can go back and listen to this show from last year. I did not want Paul George on the Lakers. I just don't see it. I see him more like a – and this is not to say Paul George has never been a go-to scorer. That's not what I'm saying.
He's
right
a great
now,
player.
Right
Absolutely.
Now – I would make him Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
And there's not really a bunch of Carmelo Anthony carrying his team to the championship clips available.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, though.
Top guy. I genuinely love his game.
Not that dude, though.
When Paul George gets hot and he's playing and he plays great defense, unlike, you know, Melo sometimes.
This is true.
But yeah, I mean, if you look at the expectations for Paul George, was the expectations going to be that he was going to average 21 points this season? No. The expectation was that he and Kawhi were going to be twin pillars of a championship-level team.
Well, he's been hurt. You got to give him that. He had off-season surgery. But even he said in a recent article, quote, "I'm a work in progress."
Yep.
That's tough to hear from a vet who can already kind of be marked down
for sure
as a Hall of Famer.
Well, he had a month last year where everyone wanted him for MVP, you know? I mean, you shouldn't be a work. And I think you can see there's been some back and forth, and our friends who are Clippers fans get mad about people reporting on this, but I think you can see watching the Clippers that Kawhi's kind of frustrated. I mean, I just don't think
that... Kawhi Leonard is back, bro. Absolutely. The Clippers season has been full of that choppy rotation, though, with the load management and the injuries and stuff. Like, I can kind of understand what Paul George is saying when he's a work in progress, because honestly, The Clippers kind of still seem like a work in progress. Who are they running out as their starting five in the second round right now? I don't know. Do they?
It does look like a work in progress. It does scare me that they have a head coach who's got some championship experience, even though I don't think he's I like Frank Vogel. I like where the Lakers are.
He doesn't run up and down the floor, though, dude. When the Clippers get worn down, they're a completely different team. When they've got energy, they might be better than the Lakers.
The only thing that makes me nervous that hangs over this whole thing, because I can stand the Lakers season ending basically any way except losing to the Clippers in a series, right? the only thing I don't like is I believe I just saw that with the Clippers' best five, when the Clippers are fully healthy, I believe they're 9-0. Now, one of those included the 40-point loss to the Bucks, where it was like their 15th dude was hurt, but that's still not an inspiring statistic.
It's also only 9 games.
For sure. Yeah, that's it, right. That's a good point. Who's to say those 9 games are going to happen back-to-back-to-back-to-back in the playoffs?
That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Another episode of What Up Long Beach is being put into the books. But before we get out of here, as always, our non-sports recommendations for you. Mine is a fun one. If you're on Instagram right now, I implore you to follow I'm Frank Severo. S-I-V-E-R-O, all one word. I got to give a shout out to my guy, Brian Koppelman, for saying this on a podcast that I was listening to. Frank Severo is Genko from Godfather 2. He's also Frankie Carbone from The Goodfellas. As soon as you see his picture, as soon as you see his face, you're going to know exactly who I'm talking about. He does these Instagram posts that are based on the facts that he was in Godfather 2 and Goodfellas. All the time, he's always showing pictures of his pasta that he's making. He does these, like, confessionals, I guess, is the best way to do it. And he starts them with the same way. Hey, how you doing? Quesadillas, just me, Frank Severo. It's beautiful, dude. It's beautiful. And he delivers everything in the same voice as he used in The Wedding Singer. He's the husband of Adam Sandler's sister. And he's like, I don't know what I said, but I said something.
I'm looking at his Instagram
right
now.
Dude, they're incredible. And if you like mob movies, if you like Godfather and Goodfellas and stuff.
Who doesn't like mob movies?
Amen. This guy, Frank Severo.
Okay, followed him.
Get on it, dude. He's a burst of fresh air when he comes across your timeline.
This is amazing.
Hey, quesadich. Quesadich, which is a specific mob slang word for what's going on?
Right.
He's still using it. 2020, dropping quesadich.
I am going to I'm going to do really briefly my serious recommendation. Then I'm just going to spin off of your recommendation. I listen to a podcast called Science Versus that I really like, hosted by Wendy Zuckerman. It's great. It's perfect. It's like a half hour where they'll be like antioxidants, and it's basically like a BS or not, right? It's kind of like a podcast Mythbusters. She just put out a podcast on the coronavirus that was it's perfect. It's everything everyone should hear. That it's like, look, this is the worst case scenario. This is how statistically likely scientists think the worst case scenario is to happen. This is more likely what's going to happen. Here's the things you can do in your daily life if you're worried about it. But it was very reassuring, like, this is not likely the end of the world, but it is serious, and here's what you can do to, do it. But it's
what's her name again?
Wendy Zuckerman. The name of the podcast is Science Versus. So if you search Science VS, you can find that. But spinning off yours, I'm going to recommend that everyone follow Big Time Tommy Romola on Instagram.
Yes.
Have you ever seen Big Time Tommy posted? That's the old school way. Take it easy. That's my guy, bro.
Yeah. We need quesadich at the beginning of a video and take it easy at the end of the video, and my life might be over.
For sure. The Gardabasios ran away from New Jersey, bro, and I don't have relatives in my life that are like Big Time Tommy. They are back somewhere in New Jersey. But every time I watch that guy, I just imagine that he's my uncle.
That's it, dude. We got to get back to it covering local sports here in Long Beach because, yes, the winter is winding down, but the spring is here now. And the spring is the most busy time for sports here in Long Beach. So if you want all of that coverage, get to the 562.org. Obviously, you can listen to the podcast, watch the show, and check out our weekly notebooks at Long Beach Post. So for Mike and for JJ and for everybody else who helps put those websites together, we'll see you in the stands this weekend, Long Beach. Take care.
Take it easy.